So what I'd like to do a little bit more, I was really hoping Diane would show up. My wife is en route from Virginia. My father-in-law had heart surgery this weekend, and that was scary and traumatic. He's still in quite a bit of pain, but he looks like he's going to do okay. So Carrie's probably driving home right now. That's why she can't be with us. But we'd like to talk a little bit more at the practical level, not so much the theoretical level, but the practical level of how in the world do you, as husband and wife, decide what is, are you calling her? What is Bob's job and what is Diane's job? What's Tim's job? What's Carrie's job? What's, my dad's right behind you, Menno. What's Norm's job and what's Carol's job? How do you make those kind of practical decisions? Maybe I'll just ask and let you guys answer that first. I got a mic that I can walk with. Mr. Brian Zook, how do you decide what's Brian's job, what's Becky's job? He wipes his face. I just woke up, dude.
I think it's a mutual thing of where we... We were both a little bit older when we got married, so we both had handled a lot of different household things. And so it's more who's available at the moment to do something. I'd say out-of-the-house stuff, yard work and things like that, I tend to do more of it. But household things, we really do share a lot of those responsibilities. And try to honor each other in those and recognize that it is hard work, whoever is doing it.
It's just us three. Thanks for being
able to just be detailed. I don't know if you noticed, but last week I did mention that Joe and I love each other and I respect him a ton, absolute ton. But we do disagree on the topic. He is an egalitarian, and that means that not only is there no, Not only is there no differentiation between the value of male and female, which I totally agree with, giftedness, value, intelligence, image of God, completely equal. But male and female, here's where I think Joe and I would disagree. Male and female are intentionally different by design. Masculinity, what it is to be a man and not a woman, is distinct from what it is to be a woman and not a man. That those are actual intentional differences designed by God and good. And the way that works out in relationship is role differentiation, gender-based role differentiation. Now, how that works out on the ground is a lot more complicated. There may be times and seasons. There was a season when my wife, I mentioned this last week, was the breadwinner, and I was the seminary student. And if that had gone on for 50 years, I would argue I was in sin. Given that it was a temporary matter, it was a decision that we contracted for. And here's what I mean by sin. My wife was carrying a very heavy load and making a very big sacrifice to be away from her baby boy for that many hours, 15 hours a day for 3 days a week. Huge sacrifice for her to put me through school. Being the primary breadwinner was hard on her physically as well, being on her feet all that time. And here's my theology, guys. Shoot me if I'm wrong. I believe the husband is to carry the heavier load. It's not about restricting women from things they're good at and want to do because they aren't fit for it. It's about saying, whatever we do here, we have to make sure the husband is carrying the heavier load from a heart of love and with a life of sacrifice. Although if that backfires, you can be a huge jerk and you could just say, woman, submit. But here's my question. How's that going to work out for you? That's not biblical, is it? It's your job to shut up and do what I say because I'm the head of this household. Well, that doesn't seem very Christ-like, does it? But that's a part of the reason people react to the whole issue of role differences. You know, because they've seen it abused by, you know, somebody that I know, and I'm not going to say their name, but, you know, after 50-plus years of marriage, their response and their summary statement is, it ain't my fault God made me the boss. I don't think you quite understand Ephesians 5, my friend.
So you mean my prayer to that I might be a kept man is praying to live in sin?
Yes.
What does that even mean?
Like, yeah, we.
Yeah, I want to stay home for a while now and let her go to work.
We did that.
We did. Yeah. Not for long enough.
But I agree with you. It is hard. I think God designed women to be more of a nurturer. I can see definitely where, I'm more the nurturer with the children, but not that he's the disciplinarian, because we both, I think, share that pretty equally, but kids need dads. But they also need moms, and you can't.
You sort of segued into a different.
I know.
Well, Menno, I think the root of the matter goes back to Genesis, and God said He created them male and female. If I think, you know, not that Tim and I, we were talking before church, not that we always treat our wives like we should, but if people would see how much we value our wives' input into our lives, into our ministries, into our decision-making, into how we spend our money, I would be lost without my wife. And I'm not saying anything most of you don't already know. So,
when you were gone, she said, Bob can't even fry up an egg.
It's just that she has done it so well. Why try to mess with a good thing? But the point is right from the beginning, the enemy came to Adam and Eve, and what he said was, did God really say that? Is that really the way God set it up? And so practically, you know, I read this week and one morning in my devotions out of 1 Timothy where Paul says a woman should be silent. Now, I don't know how that practically, I'm telling you as your assistant pastor, I don't know exactly how that works out because
I'm not silent.
Well, I have my ideas, but I'm not sure I want to unpack them here in this setting.
Quiet means not riotous and rebellious. It doesn't mean not talking in that passage. Done.
That's exactly right. That is right. But there are some hard things in Scripture that people disagree with my interpretation of, and that's okay. That's okay. But there's some things that we adhere to here and teach here because we believe that's what the Scripture says. And how they practically work out, they're going to be different for certain couples. The important thing is, in certain seasons, exactly. Mm-hmm. The important thing in our relationship and how we divide the roles and the responsibilities is Jesus was and is our head, our leader. And I look at how he lived his life and how he gave up his life and how he laid it down, and that's what I'm to do for my wife. Everywhere the gospel is preached, the role of women is elevated throughout history. And that is, as we as husbands, that should be our purpose and goal, is to elevate the role of our wives and to cherish and honor them. The Bible says they're our crown, not our job, not our career, not our car. Our wives. And that's been a work in progress for me.
Where's my wife to give me pats? I don't know if you remember last week I said something that you probably shouldn't feel comfortable with in an Anabaptist, nonviolent kind of context. But what I said was, you know, if you have a biblical view of manhood and womanhood, just go with me on this for a second. Those of you who think it's wrong for Christians to fight in a war, just go with me. Those of you who don't think it's wrong, you'll probably be with me right here, right away. I think if we really understood the heart of the godly man toward females, it would greatly disturb us to know that there are ladies with guns dying to protect our country. It's not that they're not capable of doing that. They're physically capable, mentally capable, emotionally capable. I mean, shoot, if you can handle five little kids in a house and manage that household, keep the rear ends clean, keep the clothes clean, keep food on the table, and keep massive amounts of fungus, mold, and destruction at bay, I think you can handle a military operation. The issue is, should the men feel okay sending ladies to fight their battles? They should not feel okay with that. You know, it's not, and hear me right. Just try to hear me if you can for a second. We're not saying women don't have leadership ability. Good. God gave women leadership ability that's meant to be used, even in the church. He gave them leadership ability that is to be used, even in the home. He gave them leadership ability that is to be used at work. I sat under watching my mom and dad do their deal and watching dad basically walk in, adjust people, and mom run the show. He's a chiropractor, by the way. Now, don't, you're not offended by that, are you? Mom is the administrative mind behind the whole operation. She does the bookkeeping, the payroll, the whole scheduling. Well, not Kathy handles scheduling, but at the beginning, it was a pretty intense deal there. And maybe she gets sucked into it by some OCD. She is gifted, isn't she? So I did not grow up watching an imbalance. Both mom and dad, in the ancient culture, a woman managed a household. And what I mean is, she did very little grunt work herself. She organized the hired labor, or the owned slave labor, sadly. But she was a very, very gifted administrative leader in the home front. Okay? That is nothing to sniff at. So, you know, please don't hear something denigrating or limiting in an undue fashion toward the ladies. Are we clear on that, or do we need to keep ranting? Go ahead.
That's right.
I'm going to say that into the microphone so the people on the recording.
That's excellent.
There's cultural things that are movable. The boundary stones can be moved. The method can change. Mm-hmm. Then there are creational things that are built into the DNA of masculinity and femininity that God intends to be transcultural. Right? Now, how that works out, man, I tell you what. When Matt Rowan, is Matt in here or is he gone? Hey, Matt, can you tell that story about going to Africa? Okay. The end, when you left, you painted on the wall because you saw a society where the gospel had not yet elevated the women.
Yeah, where I was at, women were frequently beaten and they carried sticks on their heads all day long. And the men sat under trees, and it went as far as obviously into politics, but in the church, a pastor, if this was Africa, Tim would, after the service, walk to the back to the, if we had a carry-in, he'd walk back there and sit down at a chair at a table, and then people would bring him food, and he'd just kind of sit there. It's chieftain society, I guess it was. They might wave you with fans. Oh, not about that. But I got so angry with it, and I made myself known a couple times, as I do. And then when I left, they had this well. It was a concrete well. And I wrote the passage. I can't remember if it's in Matthew, but if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. In black paint, as big as I could, like graffiti on their mission. But that might have been wrong of me. But But it's true. They'd probably be glad for any American that comes back there, I guess.
Thank you for telling that story. Some of that stuff is cultural. And now, if you're African and you're listening, first off, if you're from the continent of Africa, you're all the same. No, you're not all the same from the continent of Africa. But if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking these stupid white Delaware Mennonites are so arrogant, if they could just see the parts of the gospel they're getting wrong as they're blending right into their culture, yeah, their culture is egalitarian. Of course, they're going to get that one more right. But do they recognize how worldly they are in their entertainment? Do they recognize how lavish they are and how selfish they are with the way they have all this money and they got to get a brand new washer and dryer because they're a little more energy efficient while we're over here not even having clean water so our babies are dying? So, okay, let's just be fair. We're not going to beat up on the Africans unless we beat up on us too. But, yeah, like that story. Because there's Matt saying, the men are not yet following the example of Christ. I wonder about that, where the men sit back and the ladies are out there in the rice paddies sweating all day and the men sit back making sure it's working well or whatever that is. But there's probably some equivalents in our culture, aren't there? You know? Like at a Mennonite gathering? After a meal? Am I going to meddle here? Shall I meddle? The men, me included, are sitting there drinking our coffee. And what are the ladies doing? How is that okay? I'm just asking. Like, when did we decide that, like, a woman's work would never be done, but ours is done when our butt enters the house? It doesn't seem biblical to me. I'm just saying, and I'm guilty too, because I'm tired. I had a long day. People's lives are breaking apart, and my heart's broken, and I'm exhausted. I don't feel like doing everything else when I come home. But she's been dealing with it all day. I'm just saying, doesn't that seem a little bit unbiblical to you? And if I say this out loud, I'll get drafted. I'll get drafted. You know, I was at a family reunion on one of Carrie's side of the family, Heatwall side of the family. And I said, what's the deal with all the ladies doing all the dishes afterward and the men sitting at the table? And Tori Heatwall said, come on up, here's a towel. So I got drafted and we had a great conversation. I think I bonded more with those particular ladies in that time of drying dishes than I had, you know, in years before that. One day I got... Oh, go ahead.
Well, there too is another important cultural thing for that I think is lost in a lot of ways, that, you know, younger women working with older women and getting taught during that time. Just on... There's a lot of learning that goes on during those times. And I think in our society of, you go to that job and I'll go to this job, and we don't have enough of that time where men can do that with one another too.
Shall I share another story? I was invited to come. I was in college. I got invited to come down to, you remember Alan Rose, okay? My mom's brother Al, little church there. They invited me to come preach a revival, which is kind of intimidating. Oh, apparently I'm going to cause a revival. Yeah. We'll just schedule it. The Lord will show up magically if we put it on the sign out front. But so they invited me. Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice? We'd just have a revival scheduled permanently, wouldn't we? Woohoo! So I show up, and afterward, the guy who's hosting the thing is mixing the potatoes, and his wife's making faces at him like he's not doing it right, and he's kind of getting a good sweat going, and I was saying, oh, that's nice to see you jumping in there and doing that. Yeah, 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 he says. And finally, she can't handle it anymore, and she says, oh, you're just putting up a front. You never help with anything like this.
Bam!
He was trying to impress this young guy. Look at me, I'm modeling how it's supposed to work in the kingdom. And his wife's like, yeah, once a year in public so it looks good on your record. Why don't you do it when he's not here watching? Do you think he found it helpful? All right, let's have this conversation go somewhere. Bob, take us somewhere important.
You know, as I've told you before, it's often intimidating for me to share what I believe the Bible teaches when I don't exemplify it. It's intimidating, and I'm pretty intimidated in this conversation. But you know, I think I said it best at Bee's and Anita's wedding. I said that a body with two heads is a freak, and if you saw a body with two heads walking around, you would think it's a freak. It doesn't look right. It's scary. But men, it's your responsibility. I bet if you would ask the women, the wives here, they want you to lead in your home. But it's how you do it that will make it effective. There's numerous types of leadership. Some of them are effective for some, and some of them aren't. So, you know, Diane and I value her. Even, yes, I'm the spiritual leader in my home, but that doesn't mean I'm the only source of spiritual wisdom or insight or hearing from the Lord. She is so valuable in my decision-making process, in how I hear from the Lord. I'll lay it out before her, and we, you know, that's why communication is so important in a marriage. We didn't communicate at this level, you know, 5-10 years ago. We just didn't communicate at the level we do now. And so that, I don't have a handle on it, but if you don't talk about it, and women, if you wait until you're frustrated and angry and irritated because your husband's not stepping up the way you want him to, it's probably not going to go well when you broach the subject. Men, if you have to let your wives get to that point where they're frustrated and angry and upset because you won't do something, there's been a breakdown. It's your responsibility. That's the way God set it up. But you know, boy, that sounds bad. I was going to say Jesus is my model. Well, he is my model, but I don't always model him well. But when I look at how Jesus dealt with women, you know, he was never married, but I look at how he dealt with women and how he elevated their stature. You know, we talk about culture. And culture is relative, but Jesus cut across the face of culture. He didn't go with the cultural norms of his time. And so, yes, I believe that the Bible teaches that there is an order of headship. And when it's done biblically, it's a beautiful thing. When it's done in a reactionary, hey, I'm the boss type mode, authoritative, it's not a pretty thing. So,
I want to talk about the Trinity on this real quick.
Let's think about the Trinity, okay? Jesus, is he equal to the Father in divinity? Yes, he is. Would you say that he has a sort of second fiddle role as that second person in the triune relationship? Is he playing second fiddle? Interesting how you would not feel that way. Does he not submit to the will of his Father? Okay, so let me get this straight. He's completely equal in divinity, worthy of all worship, and is worshipped. Correct? And so is the Holy Spirit, worshipped and glorified as fully divine. And yet the Holy Spirit seems to be submitted to both the Son of God and the Son's Father. Isn't that something? Of course, when Jesus was on the earth, he was yielded to the Spirit. Let's not get too confused here. But somehow, the mystery of being equal in nature, dignity, value, and worth, but distinct in roles, is actually hardwired into the eternal nature of God. If you don't get that, then saying that male-female roles can be distinct could really feel oppressive to you, unless you see it modeled in the Godhead. If you see it modeled in the Godhead, it could be a really liberating and beautiful thing. Because that's the model we're following here, or attempting to follow. Is that helpful at all? Because I found that extremely helpful, at least in defeating the liberal arguments. But let's just leave that out of the mix for a little bit. Because the argument is, if we're distinct in roles, it's an attack on my dignity. Or it's a grandiose, towards masculine, like, male men, oh, look, I'm a man, look me, I'm a man, I can belch louder than you and fart and blah, blah, eat more tacos, blah, I'm a man. No, that's not masculinity at all. That's idiots, you know? That's just immature boys with facial hair. That's not masculinity. Look at Jesus if you want to see masculinity. That's masculinity. Look at Jesus. Look at his father. That's masculinity, you know? And then I heard Walter Beachy say, and the Holy Spirit is the feminine in God. And I'm going, okay. Because I feel like at that point I'm all lost in mystery and I don't understand really what I'm dealing with here.
So you don't struggle with this?
This is where we're at as a church and where we're at as a conference on this little issue here. Deacons, I shouldn't speak for the conference on this. I'll speak for Canon on this. Deacons in our church, which is like the church council or benevolence team or those kinds of roles, actually every ministry except elder in our church is open to ladies. Because we know the Holy Spirit has gifted ladies for leadership, but that the elder level is restricted to males only because that is the practice of the New Testament. If you don't like it, study it more deeply. I know Brian Zook's going to say, I'm going to give you a book, Tim. And when you read this book, you'll change your mind. I did 8 years under egalitarian theological education. You think of changing now? The elder level, the elder shepherds are to be male, husband of, they're one woman, men. Is that right? And the whole list in there. That's where the conference lands. That's where this congregation lands. But we think women are not yet sufficiently elevated at Canon. We only got Lisa Marider on the council, and she's doing awesome. Thank you for giving us your wife, brother. She's amazing. But there's more gifted women who I don't think step forward and pray in our public services. They don't share testimonies quite often. Well, you know, okay, maybe they do. But I still think we're not quite got the elevated role for women that the Bible would have us at Canon Mennonite Church. Maybe you think I'm wrong, but we run out of time, and now you can't argue with me. Bless you guys. Love you.